Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning, everybody.
There it is.
Happy Tuesday. A little gloomy. We're almost to the holiday, though. We're rocking and rolling. Zach Jones and Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you will find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. We'll get to Bills Steelers. We'll get to Sabres Penguins as well. That's coming up.
Sabres as a whole here.
Tomorrow. Shaq Lawson signing back to the practice squad. We'll get to all that here in just a moment. But first, I wanted to discuss the atrocity that I watched last night for about half of it. Really, Derek, the question is, at what point is it more than justifiable to bail out of a bad football game when you have no rooting interest in it? Because Carolina San Francisco last night was a terrible football game to watch.
All it is at this point, like, if you have no investment in anything,
I know.
You don't even need to watch it for the standings, really, within the AFC, for example. It is your form of entertainment. So for me, the answer is whenever I feel bored.
I was kind of entertained for that first half, though. It was a tire fire.
No. Nope.
It was so bad, it was good.
It was so bad, it was good. I watched maybe an eighth of that game.
Okay. All right.
Nothing about it really kept my attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I had other things that I could just do.
No, that's fair. I initially watched Syracuse-Houston because that was really fun. That game got to overtime. Syracuse could not even shoot 45% from the free throw line. That's why they lost, just flat out.
Make your free throws.
I then did get over to Gonzaga-Alabama. That game was very, very good. Gonzaga's such a wagon. They just need to win a national title, and they are considered a blue blood for me. I'll bring that conversation back up in March, but they're so talented every year. But I had to watch a little bit of Carolina-San Francisco. And I partially stayed. Derek, did you see this stat? At one point, relatively early in the game, Brock Purdy was 1-for-5 with 3 interceptions on throws 15 or more yards downfield. It was incredible to watch how bad of an offensive performance it was by Purdy. Because I should not say in San Francisco entirely. They were able to drive down the field at times and get into scoring position. Purdy himself was awful. And then Bryce Young, he never fails. He will have an incredible game that will make you buy into, man, he might be all right. He might be pretty darn good. He might have a career in the NFL. And gosh darn it, the next week he will prove you wrong.
The next week he'll be like, nope, there still is kind of a problem.
Here. Oh, man.
It will be interesting to know what his future looks like outside of Carolina, because I think the Panthers won't pick up any sort of extension on him.
They should not.
And it's going to be interesting to see what happens with his career going forward and what Carolina does at quarterback from then on. But I will say he is the truest of a high and low quarterback. He almost threw
for 500 yards last week.
The high ceiling is there with him, but that floor is in the ground.
It's so bad.
It's in the ground.
Well, it's why, you know, going back to when the Bills played the Panthers, it's why some of us were sitting there going, you know, I actually don't really want to play Andy Dalton. Now we were proven
wrong. You said that. I did not say that.
Me and Mike Shope were on that, where we're both kind of like, I would actually, I think, much rather play Bryce Young.
And I was like, no, I think I'd want Andy Dalton. He's not good anymore. He's not Andy Dalton. He's not even a good backup quarterback.
But those are the Bryce Young floors where you get a game like yesterday where it's just kind of a non-factor. He's really a huge negative on the team. They can't move the ball. They had three turnovers or three takeaways, and they got 3 points out of that. It was awful. An incredibly bad football game to watch. And for me, I stopped after halftime. But the first half, I was just wildly entertained by how bad it was. Like, that's a way to actually get me to many football games is, hey, it's a burning pile of crap. You need to go watch it. I'll be there. I will be there for a little while. I'm not going to stay the whole time. Yep. I have better things to do, and there's better sports probably on. But I'm going to be there for a little while. The college
not even just better sports,
very good.
Better things. Like, you are a big reader.
Yeah, yeah.
I am not. Based on that game, I would have cracked open a book.
You wouldn't have been able to, I'm telling you. Because you would have had it on in the background with a little bit of the volume up, and you would have just heard Purdy intercepted again, and you would have been like, I got to lock this in. I got to lock in.
Except I did grab a book.
Oh, there you go.
Is it a Star Wars Expanded Universe book? Yes.
Yeah, you did something, though.
But I did read last night instead of watch that game.
Oh, man. I'm telling you, that first half was a good time.
And I'm not a big reader.
But a good time. It was frustrating for Carolina, too, because I'm like, they're not really good, but they might actually be able to jump in here in the NFC South.
I'm totally,
and they just looked so bad.
I'm totally happy when there's no investment needed in a sporting event to completely disassociate. Perfectly fine with it. I have no issues, no qualms with it. Like, do I need to at least keep an eye, like a side eye on it for this? Yes.
Oh, right, of course.
But that game was going so poorly, nobody's making primetime performance on this game. So,
J.C. Horn, if they would have won yesterday, would have gotten a shout. He had two interceptions.
Yeah.
If they would have won the game, he would have had a shout. But no. No. Yeah,
the way it was going, I'm like, I can keep a side eye on the box score. I don't really need to do anything here. I'm going to pick up this book that I've wanted to read for a little bit, and I'm going to start reading it. So, yeah.
Man, just what a game.
I learned of what the, I learned of a reference from one of the shows.
Oh, there you go.
Like one of the Disney Plus shows. And I'm like, oh, this is what that is. Okay, this is really cool.
You're like, this is so much better than
watching
Brock Purdy play quarterback.
And watching Bryce Young attempt to throw a forward pass.
Like, I would disagree, though, because I was enthralled by the ineptitude there.
Zach.
But understandable.
You and I also sometimes have a vast difference in our willingness to watch tire fires.
I mean, that's like one of my favorite things to do.
And
for me,
I could do so many better things than that.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite things to do in life.
That's why, like, I've never liked the reality shows or anything like that. Because,
Love is Blind. I mean, come on.
Look, if I have it more together than what I'm watching, that's not good.
No, see, I watch that to be like, you know what? You're doing all right, kid. You're doing all right.
Nope. I'm just like, okay, I have it more together than you do, and that's not good for you. That's not good for me either, but it's not good for you. And it's not good for my eyeballs that I'm watching this. I'm out of here. Like, never. Can't do it. Can't do it, won't do it. And that includes some of these football games this year. So, hell. The Bills have been guilty of this at some point this year. First three quarters against Miami.
Yeah, where it's just a disaster. And you're like,
If it weren't my job, I would not be watching this football game.
Yeah, it would be tough to stay. I mean, now that's the thing, too. The Bills also have had moments this year, at many times as well, where if you're a neutral fan, boy, this is exciting to watch. You know, Baltimore, Kansas City, those games were great.
As the victims, the first half of Atlanta.
Right, right. I mean, you know, like at least Atlanta, because you're putting up the performance. I'd even say Houston, if you're someone that loves defense, that was a game where, I mean, you're locking in and you're like, look at this defensive line and how they're moving and all that stuff. I mean, I do want to give constantly a shout to the Houston defense with how good it is on all three levels, just how they're able to just snuff out a game. It really, really impressive. But yeah, that is how week 12 ends. Bit of a whimper. And now we go into the Thanksgiving week of games, which I'm very, very excited about. It looks like we're going to get Joe Burrow back for Cincinnati. Not T. Higgins, though, and Trey Hendrickson. So that'll be something to watch. That's the night game when they take on Baltimore. Mm-hmm. Cowboys have the Chiefs. I think that should be an interesting game because I don't think the Chiefs are particularly good, and Dallas is winning a few games here. They're on a little bit of a run.
That's right. The Chiefs and the Ravens both play on Thanksgiving in separate games. I can't get away from it.
No, here remember, we had them Christmas 2 years in a row too, so like the holidays have been dominated by those two.
I remember I made the comment yesterday of like, oh man, Thanksgiving's coming at the right time. You don't have to worry too much about anything. You can disassociate from the Bills and the playoff chase. No, the football that's on your television involves the Chiefs and the Ravens. At some point.
At least we have Packers-Lions at 1.
So I get to start my day right, though.
The Lions have really turned around the early window for Thanksgiving thanks to them being good again. Because
that was the game you'd often ignore.
Yeah, much of all of our lives, because that game usually started earlier, too. That was usually like a 12:30 start or something like that.
12:30. Yeah, I think you're right.
And for much of all of our lives, because that has been the Lions' existence, that was the early game where you're like, it's just on. Well, maybe we're cooking or we're traveling to someone's house or you're setting everything
and
up.
And the Lions are proceeding to get their butts kicked 38-7.
And a lot of times, too, I mean, especially here in Buffalo, it's an NFC North rivalry game. A lot of times it would have the Bears on there or the Vikings or something like that. Like this year it's the Packers. And there would just be no rooting interest there. Now it's just the Lions are fun to watch. I'd want to watch any game of theirs that I can because they're really fun.
They're a fun team.
I also think they're kind of what I want the Bills to be. I know the Rams is sort of the easy one to go to for a lot of people now. And the Eagles, of course, with Howie Roseman. But I look at the Lions where they kind of do everything I want. The only difference is I have a superstar quarterback and their guy is just pretty good. I like Jared Goff a lot. There are also moments, though, where Jared Goff looks like the guy that got traded from the Rams and that ultimately Sean McVay thought
I
could do better.
And caused you to have a meltdown
watching a Super Bowl.
When we first started to become friends.
Man, that Super Bowl against the Patriots will live in
infamy with
me.
I will never forget that Super Bowl Rams-Patriots where you are just absolutely upset at Jared Goff.
Just make a play, man. Just move around. But now he's in a much better spot and it's working, but they have guys like Jameson Williams and Amon-Ra St. Brown and until he got hurt, Sam Laporta. They are loaded with talent.
Brad Holmes is really good as a general manager.
Yeah, and they're willing to make moves and they get aggressive in drafts. And you know, and also to a certain extent too, I really like that they kind of don't care what other people are going to say. Like they do get the best players. Their scouting department's great because I remember like the Jahmyr Gibbs
and Jack Campbell both.
Yeah.
We're ripped on in that draft class of like, okay, why are you doing these things here?
Yeah, like, all right.
You invested premium assets in a running back and a middle linebacker?
The luster around the Lions is somewhat fading and stuff like that. In reality, no. They have hit it out of the park. Even Jameson Williams, though, remember, like he has a kind of rough start to his career with suspensions and injuries and stuff like that. And it's worked out beautifully for them. And they've stayed competitive throughout this. Really, their only issue to not probably making a Super Bowl out of the NFC is the fact that their defense is so injured all the time the last 2 years. Just constant issues there. We'll see what happens on Thursday. I'm excited to watch them always. But to the Bills. They are playing the Pittsburgh Steelers this Sunday at 4:25. I think the line has moved now. I believe the Bills are 3.5-point favorites. I think this opened up at 5. They're now 3.5-point favorites at Pittsburgh. I will say, you know, this is a weird matchup. It is a 4:25 one. And it is two brands, the Bills being the newer brand, Josh Allen, they're always on primetime, they're always on television.
They're a little bit more the exciting group.
Right. Pittsburgh is sort of the grandfathered in. They've been here, they've done that, and that's, I think, why they're there. And both are, weird enough, in similar spots record-wise. I just, for me, you know, looking at this, trying to look this from the outside looking in, not as a Bills fan, not as a Steelers fan, but just, you know, kind of bird's eye view, the average fan, just kind of an game, really. The Bills are floundering. They're having real issues against bad teams, and especially on the road. Josh Allen's not putting up the Josh Allen numbers all the time. It's not that long ago that he did have a 6-touchdown performance. It's not like that's not in his repertoire anymore. But then even for Pittsburgh, they're very irrelevant in the NFL, for being honest. They may make the playoffs, but they're going to get whooped on in the wild card round. So everyone kind of roots to play them in the wild card round because they can beat them pretty easily. They don't really have any young, flashy players that are coming up. It's a very old roster. And it is somewhat weird, especially after an offseason they did have where they did make some pretty big swings, like for guys like Jalen Ramsey and DK Metcalf. They do trade away George Pickens, but there's just nothing very flashy about them. And I think for me, The Houston loss for the Bills is a huge linchpin moment for this season. It is very much a fork in the road of you can either zig or you can zag, and depending on which one you do, could really define, I think, the legacy for many people within the Bills organization, namely, of course, the guys in the upper management areas, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean. I think for me, though, where I sit, if you lose to Pittsburgh and you go to 7-5, they're probably still going to make the playoffs. I think right now they sit like a 92% chance of making the playoffs. It's pretty, even though they're in the last spot, they're in the 7th seed, they're in a pretty good spot. It gets dicey, though, when you lose to Pittsburgh. But I would argue I'm at a point now, and it's a lot like, for me, Jeremy's kind of big talking point of, if you're 0-3, what's the chance of making the playoffs? Well, you're 0-3. Do you really deserve to make the playoffs?
Are you really a playoff team?
Where it's not the same, but I kind of have a similar feeling of, yeah, you're 7-5, you should probably be a playoff team, but is that really important anymore? Is it more important that we need to start this over? This has failed. We're in year two of the quote-unquote retool of them. Last year was supposed to be this year where, all right, they're a young group, they're starting over, we're going to take our lumps, and they don't. They are the second seed. They go to the AFC Championship, and they're nearly perfect on offense. Allen wins the MVP, and everything looks great. This year has been, and we've talked about this a lot, this year has been sort of the opposite. Everything that could go wrong is going wrong. They're picking up massive injuries on defense.
I wouldn't say everything that could go wrong has
in the sense on offense, it's now all of a sudden you're turning the ball over more. You're not getting more takeaways. Your starting field position is one of the worst when it was one of the best. Your quarterback, who routinely hasn't taken sacks, is taking much more this year. He's already surpassed the number that he had last year. And your receivers, who were okay last year, but you did need to make a move, now all of a sudden are just not good, just flat out not good at all. Mac Hollins was at least a nice story last year.
Yes.
They don't even have that this year. And Dalton Kincaid, who has somewhat emerged, is still dealing with health issues and still dealing with the problem of staying on the field even when healthy. They don't use him a lot. James Cook is like the bright spot of the offense. And depending on who you ask, that's not really much of a bright spot.
And it's almost as if it's kind of it's not good that he is the bright spot.
Right.
Because there is a Josh Allen on this roster. And it brings me back to something. So a Texans player had said something about they looked exactly like they did on film. D'Amico Ryans, as a matter of fact, also has something to say about this. It was a scheme we don't see much. Most of the time, we're getting a lot of chips, 7-man protection schemes. They really put a lot on the quarterback's play. Guys are going to have one-on-one matchups, and they were really hoping that he could escape the pocket. And I thought this was the best game we had of guys being in sync. It just tells me, again, if you're having a problem protecting with 5, you should be doing more to help him. And Joe Brady's not. Based on those comments from D'Amico Ryans, the offensive coordinator is not helping enough. He's literally just using the next step in protection is Josh Allen, go run and do something. And while I respect Allen's ability there, when you are getting a player battered around, he's going to leave the pocket before he has to because he is getting hit. He is getting sacked. His timing is now off. You need to do something to try to get that internal clock back. And Brady did not do that. In the second half, there were less chips than there could have been. There were less opportunities to do that. And the other side of the blade makes sense, though. This is the other problem. Because this is where it's both Brady and Bean to me. If I have more players in protection, I have to ask these Bills wide receivers to win one-on-one matchups. And if I'm the offensive coordinator, I can't do that.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I need to protect Allen. And I can't do that. Which side of the blade are you going to cut your hand on grabbing it? Is really what it turns into. So it seems like, yes, I know that coaching is probably abhorrent at this point. And this quote from Ryans really said something about coaching. And in particular, Brady's scheme. But I look at the other side and I go, would you trust 3 receivers to win in coverage if I have to do a max protect scheme? If I have to have Knox chipping and or even blocking outright, and maybe I get a running back out late? I'm asking three Bills wide receivers to win battles.
That's the thing. Yeah, it's the roster too. We're like, they don't have the horses. They don't. I mean, they flat out don't. It's just, for me, it's both funny and tragic that really a big part of what the Bills have been, quote unquote, trying to do is to take more off of Josh Allen's plate. Right, to get it to a point where he doesn't have to be Superman all the time.
And
in reality, the passing game they have built is forcing Josh Allen to more than ever be Superman, be the MVP, be one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. It's just, it's incredible to me. Yeah, it's awesome. The offensive line is very good. James Cook is maybe an all-pro running back this year. And so he's been a very good running back. But the defense leaves a lot to be desired. And your receiver room is getting worse and worse as the years go by. You know, they have not properly replaced Stephon Diggs. Arguably, they have not properly replaced Emmanuel Sanders or John Brown. They've constantly also been looking for number two. They thought they had in Gabe Davis for a while. That proved to be incorrect. It's just, it. Look, I think Brady has a lot of problems. And I think the luster is worn off of him. And I don't think he is an elite NFL play caller. And I do want to see them do something different there. But I've said it kind of since the season or before the season started, I did not know about the talent on this roster. And this year, I think that has been, for the most part, proven correct. Even before the injuries, the talent on the roster is probably not there. I think especially on the offense, but on the defense as well. We're at a point now, I mean, you mentioned it. Once Ed Oliver's out of the lineup or Michael Hoyt's out of the lineup, they can't get sacks.
They've gotten one sack since Michael Hoyt left the lineup against Kansas City.
You know, we're re-signing guys like Shaq Lawson, who, for all intents and purposes, has not played football since 23. He is in one game last year for Carolina, in which he plays, what, 14 snaps?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's effectively not played football since 23. Now, he signed into the practice squad. It's not like he has to immediately get elevated. But they're they're in a really, really bad spot. And in many aspects, it is the general manager who has done a really bad job of setting up this roster for the second half of Allen's career.
I will say there is something interesting about this with, we mentioned the sacks thing. I had a tweet make the rounds apparently last night that I sent actually during this show yesterday. Ed Oliver's second on the Bills this year with three sacks. Ed Oliver played only three games and he's been out since week eight. We're entering week 13.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that the pass rush needed to be miles better. And a lot of responses about it of like, Yeah, good thing they don't have, like, heavy investments in this position, right? And that's where I get more into where you are, Zach, about the general manager does need to hit more. Like, really get some players that knock it out of the park more often and get some of these higher ceiling type players, because when you see it at the end of the day, wide receiver this, wide receiver that. I've watched the Bills with this management group do a much worse job of collecting a pass rusher or a top-tier pass rusher for this team. Greg Rousseau, that contract extension, looks kind of abhorrent right now. It's abysmal. It's kind of going to look like a long-term problem. Because why is it that Rousseau is not surpassing a player that played three games this year? Because the one player I could trust on the defensive line that is a superstar of sorts, or at least could be, is the one that got hurt. And Ed Oliver. Ed Oliver is that piece. He is that piece. He was also drafted 9th overall. And as Joe had played on the morning show, that clip of, I don't want to go through the bad times to get a top-tier player.
Yeah, how do you say it? Like the lean years?
Yeah, the lean years. If you keep going the way that you are, there's going to be a lean year in here.
Yeah, I mean that's where they're at. And that's where, look, again, they are 7-4. They're probably going to make the playoffs. I don't want to make it sound like all the time, but like they're actually like a 6-10 kind of, or well, what would that be, 6-11 organization. But they have hit a point where, yeah, I now agree with a lot of people that if Josh Allen were to get hurt for like 5 weeks, not even a season-ending injury, but 5 weeks, they would go 0-5. They wouldn't be able to grind out a win or
two. They'd probably go 1-4 because the NFL is weird.
I don't know about that.
You're telling me that the Cleveland Browns can win games with whatever is left of Joe Flacco against the Packers and...
I mean, look, it happens. I look at how this team operates.
The Jets win a single football game ever.
But how this team operates, they can barely win games against okay competition now with Allen. Now, if it's Mitch Trubisky, I just don't know. So I'm at that point now with a lot of fans where, yeah, you lose your starting quarterback, you're going to be worse off.
Either way, 1-4 is not great either, though.
No, but like that's my thing is just they are not a good team. I think a lot of the teams in the AFC are not particularly good teams. I think many of them are kind of surviving off of a few key pieces or good years from a bunch of guys. I think the NFC is really the crown jewel of the NFL this year.
Yeah.
But the Bills are in this position now with one of the weaker schedules, by the way, in the NFL. That is still holding true for the most part.
It is. Entering the season, it was a weak schedule. And going through strength of victory and strength of schedule, it's still holding up to be the point, and you're right about that. So it's something where... Yeah, this is a season that definitely has a little bit of a failure to launch, even with a 7-4 record, and it's frustrating to see at the same time.
Yeah, because the AFC is absolutely ripe for the picking. Absolutely. You match up very well against Kansas City.
And your
and
NFC...
And you may not have even played Baltimore, and to be fair, if you do, and I think this is fair, they seemingly always fall apart when you play them. Denver can't score, right? Indy's got Daniel Jones as their starting quarterback, and New England is New England. We don't know about them yet. But I look at the Bills in that same vein and go, everyone else is probably saying the same thing about the Bills of you can run all over them. And to be fair, if you just can cover their receivers, their passing game cannot get off the ground.
And even your NFC opponents were the South.
Yeah. You don't even play the hard NFC division. You don't.
No.
And so, like, with all that, 803-0550, the number to call. Where do you kind of put the blame for the Bills' issues this year? Is it more on Brandon Bean, Joe Brady, Sean McDermott, Josh Allen? You know, where are we at right now? They are 7-4. They are in a playoff spot. But, boy, it has been a frustrating season almost from the word go. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on the Northtown Automotive X Point Show. And this is WGR.
I wanted to do things. I'm always wanting to do things to make this team better. And listen, there may be a player or two. We added Jordan Phillips, played for us, made plays in the AFC Championship game for us last year. He was not on our roster at the trade deadline. Like, I ain't giving up, but I also believe in our roster, too. And to Jay's question, I do believe we can win a championship with this roster.
On Wednesday, Brandon said he believed that the roster was of championship quality or championship caliber. After a performance like that, what is your confidence level that that is indeed the case?
I love these players. I love these players. I do. I love the guys in that locker room.
Oof. You know, we've heard both those clips. That is Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean both discussing the current roster.
Not in that order, but
both discussing the roster at different times. And I think there is a fair argument that if reading through the lines, you know, the subtext, if you will. There is probably a disconnect between, I think, the head coach and the general manager. I subscribe to that theory. I think that's right.
It's starting to become enough where, like, an outside perspective can see that. Now, before we keep going on this, we are getting in toward the holiday season. And this holiday season, we're kicking off Mission Give Where You Live to benefit Buffalo.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday Doorbuster Deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time Doorbuster Deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Big deal brands are on sale right now at Designer Shoe Warehouse. Save up to 25% on select styles from the brands on everyone's list, like Nike, Adidas, New Balance, Crocs, Reebok, and more. Because the only thing we love more than dropping a name is dropping a price. You don't want to miss this one. These brands are almost never on sale. So shop the DSW Holiday Name Drop Sale today at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You open the fridge, there's nothing there. So what's it going to be? Greasy pizza? Sad drive-through burgers? Dish by Blue Apron is for nights like that. These are the pre-made meals of your dreams. At least 20 grams of protein, no artificial flavors or colors, no chopping, no cleanup, no guilt. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Little City Mission, powered by NYSEG, starting December 1st through December 19th. You can donate brand new sweatshirts, sweatpants, hats, gloves, scarves, and non-perishable food items to help keep our community warm and fed. Just stop by any Dash's Market location, drop your location off in the Mission Give Where You Live donation bin. And if you're shopping online, you can still do that. You can give through the Buffalo City Mission's Amazon wish list, sponsored by the Barnes Firm and Dash's Market. You can get all the details on kiss985.com.
So, yeah, so where the Bills are at, and I, look, for me, because we kind of put the question out there at the end of the last segment, 803-0550, the number to call. You want to give your thoughts. You know, who is maybe most to blame for the Bills' current issues? For me, I do think it is Bean. And to be fair, I don't think I'm alone in this, because I think more and more fans are starting to really go to that as maybe the biggest issue for the organization. And it is stuff like, you know, ultimately him saying, like, we're always going to try to add to the roster and stuff like that. But ultimately, it's a lot of retreads. It's a lot of guys who've already been on the roster. Gabe Davis coming back, and we're hoping he makes a big, you know, addition. Trey White from the offseason coming back, and we're hoping he holds down the corner position until Max Hairston is ready. Jordan Poyer comes back as well, and he kind of has to play a big role for the safety room. And then today,
Dane Jackson also is Dane a player Jackson that well. Gets right. forgotten in this flux of players re-added to this team.
Right.
I'd asked the question last night. I was like, okay, I can't be crazy, right? Other teams do this, right? And most of the answer that we got through that question was from other fan bases was, yeah, not to the degree that the Bills do it with 30-plus
right.
players.
Right. Well, that's the thing. Everyone knows they do it because, of course, you know the system, you know the coaches. It's the same with coaching
staffs. Bigger practice squad
right.
rosters.
Right.
Like, it is a phenomenon that does happen around the league. Obviously, this is in response to Shaq Lawson being added. But you know, I don't want to get mad at every time that they do this because, hell, the morning show has a waiver system for this right now. There's a game being played.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to get mad at it because I think about it of like, if you look around the league and there are fan bases that are following their team just as passionately as Buffalo would, this happens around the league, right? And I got responses from Cincinnati, Kansas City, effectively saying, yeah, you guys might do it a little more,
mm-hmm.
but it's not a phenomenon that's like, don't go driving yourself crazy over it, is basically the message I got through this, which is kind of why I had to ask it. I didn't want to start
right, cause,
sounding
cause you
insane.
Right, because you want to know, like, am I the crazy person,
am I the crazy person
annoyed?
Getting annoyed about this, or am I just trying to take a step back and go, because this is the hyperfixation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we talk about Buffalo sports here. It's what we do. It's what you guys want to hear. This happens everywhere else, right? And the answer effectively I got is yes. The Bills do seem to do it more with older players. So it seems like the well in which that they can call upon gets thinner. And it is the same players. And it is these same guys here. Bringing back a Rex Ryan draft pick is a thing that they did.
I think for me, it's just it's Rex Ryan, right? So he's not even part of the Bean McDermott thing. For me, it's just more he played a game in 24. He effectively has not played football since 2023.
And that's,
that is really concerning.
That is the thing. And that's what I mean by it. Like, it's not to the degree but other teams do this around the league. I do want to help people with that because I went through the same thing of they can't be the only team doing this, right? Right? Mm-hmm. Right? Like starting to turn into the Joker a little bit. Because you mentioned it, like you think Bean is the bigger problem of how this is going. This is starting to turn into one of those things that I don't know how much you can put into it because other teams do this. And these players that they've brought back haven't stunk entirely.
No, but I guess that's where I have two big issues with this. Number one, it's not like these are the guys that won you a championship.
Right.
And you're bringing them back in as sort of like, hey, they know the culture. They know how to get it done. We're going to bring them back. And
right.
The second part to that is, and this is where the draft junkie in me comes out, is cool. You're bringing these guys back because no young players are stepping up. We talked about Greg Rousseau, but like here, edge rushers. Javon Salmon, who looked pretty solid as a fifth-round rookie last year. Looked like there was some pass-rushing juice there. What's going on? Nothing. We have no idea because they're going to bring back Shaq Lawson. You know, Greg Rousseau gets his contract extension and really is a non-factor. He has played every game this season. He is tied for Ed Oliver with 3 sacks. Kind of been a non-factor for them.
I don't want to go too far into it with the defensive additions like this because of the fact that it is injuries also forcing their hand.
No doubt.
Like, this is not the offense. This is where Gabe Davis comes into play on this. And I'll get there eventually here. But it is. You are post-deadline. I'm not going to get worked up over Shaq Lawson because of the fact that you have injuries here. TJ Sanders is playing on the edge at a couple of snaps of the last game.
Right, they need to get him moved inside
again. You literally need a defensive end. Mm-hmm. And it's better to have a defensive end that does know the scheme. Coaches are more comfortable coaching them up. It's something like that. Are you going to find a true talent that nobody else saw on another practice squad or on another or on free agency that are not on another roster right now?
Mm-hmm.
Chances are slim with the expanded practice squad rosters. They're slimmer now. The defense and those additions, that's the other thing. They've been fine. Could you do better? Yes, offseason-wise, for example. Bringing back both Trey White and Dane Jackson for the corner position, they did invest heavily in corner in that draft class, though, too. It is the fact that injury has taken some of them out. Harrison can't start the season on time because of an injury. Dorian Strong, I'm worried about what may be his career because neck injuries don't play around. Hancock is drafted, and now they might be using him at safety or at slot corner. It's seemingly like they're wanting to figure that out, but he's not a boundary guy, it looks like. They've written that off. And then at defensive end, Landon Jackson, a player that we were starting to give a little scrutiny to. What's he do the first step or first drive in Miami?
Yeah.
He's out for the year. Michael Hoyt comes back in the lowest lineup. He looks dominant. He is out. Ed Oliver has 3 sacks in 3 games, second on the team, but he's injured twice. And this one that takes him out for the regular season. TJ Sanders even gets injured, has to leave the lineup. And he does come back, obviously, but injuries have forced their hand on the younger contributions and against the younger contributions that they've had to do this. Now, what about Gabe Davis? The fact that Gabe Davis has shown to be a market improvement over everything that you did this offseason at wide receiver, which is not much, that is where you should have the problem. That's where I have my issue, because you went ahead and went on a victory tour about the position, and then, oh, we actually need to add Gabe Davis, and we need to sign Mecole Hardman, because we're not doing enough at receiver. Hardman goes out with injury. He's on IR. But Davis has become the receiver that Josh Allen trusts the most. How? Well, I think he trusts Shakir plenty.
It's how they're using Shakir.
It's how they're using him. So that's where it really does become a bit of this, like, I want to be able to criticize the GM, but I'm going to do it right. I'm not going to go after it about Shaq Lawson because that hand has been forced.
Right, and you're right to mention, like, TJ Sanders, we talked with Sal about it. Like, he's playing snaps at the edge. Like,
yeah,
it's like, not his position at all. He's not doing particularly well at it either. They got to get him moved back
inside. Am I concerned about the fact that Lawson has not played consistently in over a year? Yes.
That's more where my issue is, like, this is the best you can do. Because I'm sorry, there's no way that's the best you can do is, yeah, I mean, you know, he hasn't played football in a year, and he was with us for, like, that's the thing. His most consistent football has been with Buffalo, and only Buffalo.
And honestly, that's okay to me. But at the same time, yeah, is this the best you can do? But the hand was forced.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Before we take our next timeout, let's go to the phones, and we'll start with Tim here on the line. Tim, how are we doing?
Hey, guys. Good morning. Appreciate you having me on, as always.
Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to, you know, you guys are kind of hitting the nail on the head here this morning. I just wanted to chime in with my two cents as well. My biggest blame is being for sure. I mean, Brady, you know, has his lumps, and to be honest with you, I've liked him to start, but this is also a guy that got fired by Matt Rhule with like six games left in Carolina when they were really, really bad. So, like, let's, you know, I didn't love it. But get back to being, you know, the two biggest jobs, the easiest and the hardest job for a GM is, the easiest would be to tear down a roster and start a rebuild. I mean, I think that was very, very easy for them right when they got here because it was a bad roster. The hardest part of the job is to nail the quarterback, and you did that.
Right.
But outside of that, just acquiring talent to fill around. I mean, we really got lucky with Stephon Diggs wanting to force his way in his prime out of Minnesota to make that trade happen and just happened to be out of conference. So I think that's why that happened as well. But outside of that, you haven't really done enough to get your guy some help. You hit the pick. Now he's like 8 years in, heading into the back half of his career. And I would rather have somebody pulling the strings down the stretch to get some different people in here for Josh Allen. You're coming up to a crossroads on some contracts. We've got some post-June cuts on Spotrac that I'm taking a look at, some ways to save some money this year with Curtis Samuel, Taron Johnson, a bunch of guys that kind of come to mind. And I just want somebody with some fresh eyes, with no sentimental value to these players, kind of pulling those strings and rebuilding the roster, and I just want to hear what you guys have to say about it.
Yeah, Tim, thanks for the call. I will always say, though, Bean did make the move for Von Miller. It may not have worked out. I do always want to point to, he did make the splash free agent signing at that time. But you're right, in terms of the big...
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Black Friday? More like Black Fry-yay. Shop the DSW Black Friday sale and take 30% off almost all the shoes, accessories, and giftable goodies we've got at DSW.com. Plus 30% off just about every regular price item at your DSW store. Score shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget. So carpe the deal. Head to Designer Shoe Warehouse and get that gift list done. DSW, let us surprise you.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Offensive move, it's basically Diggs and Diggs. I think that's 100%. I think it's 100% fair to say that in terms of big moves to make, it's been Diggs. Because even though James Cook is a hit, they traded back twice before they took him.
I'm still going to go ahead and say, well, but if you hit on a second round pick, excuse me, fine, perfectly good. They've been in, but the thing is that here's the weird part: they'd been investing more regularly in the running back position than they had at the wide receiver position.
Because at that point, it had been Singletary to Moss to Cook. They try to go get J.D. McKissic as well.
Like, right, they've done a reneges lot on his deal. Yeah,
they have done a lot at the running back position, and eventually get it right with James Cook. Wide receiver, it was Stephon Diggs. They make a fourth round pick in Gabe Davis, and they do a quick 1 year signing with Emmanuel Sanders, and that's kind of about it.
And then there's the fifth round of Khalil Shakir.
Yeah, like they really have not done much of that at position. And I know that's where people get frustrated, because even, you know, Kincaid, he's a tight end. Like, don't sell me in him as a receiver. He's a tight end. You know, Keon Coleman. They trade back and then take him. It's nice and all that you get the extra pick, and if Dwayne Carter had worked out or does eventually work out, that's awesome. That's nice. But really, their one big move to help out Allen is Stephon Diggs, and then they trade him away when he's still somewhat working, and they eat up a ton of dead cap, even though, depending on the offensive coordinator, that still might be working. And it has really bit them, and they have really not been able to recover. Yes, they have the injuries on defense. But my kind of more issue is with the offense. I think because you see in the losses this year, the defense actually doesn't play that poorly, especially in second halves. It's the offense that fails them. And it's the offense that in many ways has failed them in the postseason as well, of having the ball at the end of these games and not being able to score, whether it be at home against Kansas City, where you have the Stephon Diggs drop, and then even a little bit later on in the game, or last year in Kansas City, where the offensive line blows play. I think it's Spencer Brown that actually blows that play. And then, you know, Allen has to run around. It's a prayer ball to Dalton Kincaid.
Actually, no, that should have come down. I wouldn't even say Brown was that. It was scheme. Spagnuolo beat Brady on that call, and it was all call. That was what it was. And this goes back to the D'Amico Ryans quote, Zach.
Yeah.
Spagnuolo cracks the code. They don't chip a lot. And they don't on that play.
No.
So Kansas City sends more than the Bills can protect. Allen has to identify the mic as Drew Tranquil, and then the offensive line has to protect the way that it looks. Brady sends the overload on the right side, the offensive right. Spagnuolo has that lined up for them, and that's when Allen has to realize, I have to get this thing out of here. Oh, also, my hot read's not available.
Yeah.
So that goes back to the Ryans quote. This is where you're asking too much of Allen, in a sense. And I do wonder if Bean's wide receiver addition with Joshua Palmer is better with a different offensive coordinator.
803-0550, the number to call. We'll get your calls when we come back. We'll also have primetime players coming up at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer here on a Tuesday. This is WGR. Wrapping up hour number one here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Zach Jones, Derek Kramer, went a little long in that last segment. But before we hit our next timeout, I just want to give a quick shout out locally to college basketball.
Big four, kind of, for right now. But Big Four basketball is back, baby.
Buffalo 6-0. They are continuing that run of the best start to a season since 2018-2019. They cover against VMI, an 8-point win there. They're down in Fort Myers this week. It's part of those tip-off tournaments.
Yes.
You're seeing a few of them now. Maui's going on. The Players' Era is going on. I think there's a few more as well. But UB 6-0, continuing such a good start to the year. And they've got Bucknell tomorrow, and I believe it's 1:30 or 12:30. They're 2-5. They should beat Bucknell. Then they've got Canisius on Saturday. And then they've got a week until they'll play Bonaventure at home. That'll be the next game in Alumni Arena. So there's a good chance they'll be undefeated taking on St. Bonaventure. And speaking of the Bonnies, they're in action tonight against number 16th ranked North Carolina. That game is going to be on Fox Sports 1 at 6. And they've had a very strong start to the year as well. They're 5-0. They look very good. They look much more like a deep team than in years past under Mark Schmidt's group. And just, yeah, the basketball has been very good. And I even mentioned it to start today. Syracuse versus Houston. Syracuse drags that game to overtime. And if they could have just hit some free throws, they probably win that game actually in regulation. Houston is undefeated, but does not look as strong as teams of the past with Houston. But Syracuse, even could be back here with Red Autry. It's been a little surprising, actually. Weirdly enough, you know, Buffalo and Syracuse have been somewhat of like ugly mirror images of each other. Syracuse under Red Autry has kind of had a tough time making the NCAA tournament since he's been there. And for the Bulls, since Nate Oates is gone, they've had a tough time making the NCAA tournament. Both, though, may be back in the same year.
They've even had a hard time making the MAC tournament.
Yeah, they haven't done it in the last 2 years. 803-0550, the number to call. When we come back, primetime players for this week. That's coming up next. You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. And this is WGR.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
At Lowe's, loyalty is royalty. With Christmas right around the corner, treat yourself for less during the holiday season. Rewards members get early online-only access to Black Friday doorbuster deals on Thanksgiving Day, like the Hisense side-by-side fridge, just $799. Not a member? Join for free today. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid 11/27 only on Lowe's.com. Member only doorbusters and Midnight Eastern. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. See Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.